Grace be unto you from God our Father, and peace from the Lord Jesus Christ. First, let me thank God for allowing me to be here tonight, sharing in this glorious worship celebration. I do know that in all we do, it is only by His grace. Thank you, Pastor William T. Gosom Jr. Thank you for letting me come. I'm a great admirer of your pastor. I've watched him these 29 years and before. I remember when New Hope was on the next block, and I saw the glow of God all over your pastor. He's always behaved himself and conducted himself as a God-fearing man. And you can learn so much about God's servant if you just observe his steps. He's an extraordinary leader. He's brilliant-minded and multi-talented. Amen. He can seem like that God wrapped him up with just about the whole package. And it's a testimony what God is doing through him by looking at this place of worship called True Light Baptist Church. And Pastor Ghost, I'm just hallelujah happy to be in your presence. I want you to know that you have made a difference in my life. And you made a difference in the life of believers in this community, in this city, in this state, even in this country. And for that we say, God, to God be the glory. And let me say this, we said retirement, amen, and I want you to say that word lightly. I know what we're trying to do here tonight, but, you know, a retirement from one ministry to go forward in another. And greater works than these shall you do. And certainly, I am thankful for your ministry. Thank you, Sister Mel. You are charming and classy. Amen. And you wear your religion well. Amen. And you are perhaps the epitome of what a pastor wife ought to look like. And I want to thank God for you. And may God's grace and mercy forever flow upon the Gosom family. Thank you, Reverend Jones, for that kind-hearted introduction. And I must say that I was a little leery about standing up after you said all those words. You build a big porch for a little house. But I don't care who you are, what you do, and how much success you had in doing it, and No matter how long you've been doing it, it's always good to hear somebody say something nice about you. Thank you. And all of the good people from True Light, thank you for welcoming us to this place. You just didn't say nothing, but you look like a welcome. And I want to thank you for the hospitable spirit that flows from your hands and hearts. And let me say this. Thank you, Zion. I stand before you in some sort of perplexity. One of our faithful members and a personal friend of mine for more than 24 years graduated from her earthly school and moved to the Heaven University. And many of Zion members are there now. It's the largest family in our church. Yeah. Amen. And I just wanted to thank those that came tonight, because I know your heart was somewhat divided. But your love for your Pastor Golston and your love for Pastor Davis, you are here tonight. And I say, to God be the glory. Amen. Reverend Groves. Yes, sir. Amen. I remember those times. Amen. You and our honorary started together. And we hope. Thank you for your presence. I want to thank God for all of the ministers, both from True Light and from Zion Baptist Church. Thank you for coming. And I want to say a few things tonight. And I don't want to hold you long. I know you're not suffering from good preaching. Pastor Golston is masterful in his preaching skills. But he did ask me to come, and I know I want to do my little bitty best. You did not give me a theme. But you did say that your pastor was God's faithful servant. Yeah, that's what you said. And I wholeheartedly agree that he is God's faithful servant. You didn't give me a text, but I read my letter. And it did say that his favorite scripture were Ephesians 3, 20, and 21. That's what the letter said. And I want to look at those verses tonight. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. And 21, the quotations will come from the King James Version. And 20, it says, "Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Then verse 21 says, unto him be glory by Christ Jesus. Unto him, I want you to underscore that again, be glory by Christ Jesus. Throughout all ages, world without end, amen. Now, before I get hallelujah happy, it don't take much for me. I've already read the text, and I'm feeling mighty good tonight. But let me give you a thesis sentence. And the motto of God's faithful servant is unto you, unto him. The motto of God's faithful servant is unto him. And if you don't leave here with nothing else, I want you to leave here tonight saying unto him. Unto him. Now come close to the text. Come close to the text. The Apostle Paul gives in that third chapter his theological exhalation and afterwards he closes with a doxology. Now I don't want to insult anybody intelligent. I'm just going to tell you he closes with a doxology. A doxology is simply, can I get some water? Amen. A doxology is a simple statement that gives honor to God's majesty. It ascribes to God's glory. It exalts his holy name. A doxology is simply a word of praise to a holy God. And look what he says. Unto him. Twice. Verse 20, he says, unto him. Verse 21, he says, unto him. Now, there are some things I want to tell you, and I'll take my seat. First of all, if you look closely at come to the text now. Look closely at the text. You will see that there is a statement about God's greatness. Now, all of us can somewhat testify to the greatness of God. All through the Bible, it tells us God is great. Help me out. Psalm number 48, verse 1, it says, greatly is the Lord and greatly to be praised in our cities and in the mountains of his holiness. Great is our God. And what that doxology says, unto him because of his greatness. How many of you know that he's a great God? Could not be if it was not for his greatness. Look what he says. He testifies in the doxology. He testifies to God's greatness. He says the greatness of his ability unto him that is able to do. The greatness of his ability. Look at his ability now.
He has the ability to create. Oh, yeah. Help me out. Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He's great because he is the genius of this universe. He's great. In his greatness, he spoke and it happened. He said, let there be, and there was light. Greatness he created. Yes, you know he took some dust and formed it. I told you it didn't take much for me to get happy. It formed it in his own image. Breathe the breath of life into his nostrils, and man became a living being unto him. The created genius of the universe. That's what Paul was saying. He's great. He's a great creator. Help me out. John 3:1-3 says, in him all things was created. And without him nothing was made that was made. He's the created genius. Not only that, he's great because he's great in his salvation. He saves. Paul says, as he spoke in Acts 4:12, says, neither is there salvation in any other. There's no other name given among men in heaven whereby we must be saved. He's the only one can save. He talked to the Roman church and he said in Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Great. Because of his creative abilities. Great because of his saving ability. And let me tell you, I know you. Some of you just wondering, well, he does more than save you from sin. But he's the only one that can save you from sin. But he does more. He saves you from danger and destruction. He's a great deliverer. Anybody been delivered off in here? David said, I waited patiently upon the Lord, and he inclined unto me. He brought me up out of the harbor pit. Somebody off in here has been in a harbor pit. Greatness of God brought you up. Great in his salvation. Great in his resurrection. As a matter of fact, in John 11:25, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he's dead, yet shall he live. Well, what a doxology. It makes a statement about God's greatness. And since God is so great, can I say this to you? There ain't no mountain that he can't move. Ain't no life that he can't shoot, can't change. Ain't no burden that he cannot lift. As a matter of fact, a substandard saint, he can transform the life, and you can become a vessel used for his greater glory because of his greatness. A faithful servant of God. God's faithful servant. I believe your pastor chose that verse as his favorite because he knew about God's greatness. You cannot walk the Christian life if you don't know about God's greatness. Well, I'm going to hold you. Let me hurry. I saw another statement in that doxology. Not only did it speak a statement about his greatness, it speaks a statement about his grace. Unto him who is able to do according to the power that worketh in us. How many of you know there's some grace, and in grace there is power. Power in his grace. Yeah. He empowers us by his grace. You do know the story about Paul with that thorn in his side. And he cried out to the Lord. And the Lord told him, my grace is sufficient. Yeah, in 2 Corinthians 9 and 12, he goes on to say, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. All I'm trying to tell you, he's great in his grace. I could not stand behind this sacred desk if it was not for his grace. I could not love if it was not for his grace. Songwriter was right when he said, through many dangers, toils, and snares have already come. It was grace that brought me safe thus far. And grace will lead me on. But not only is he great in his grace, not only does his grace empower us, you find abundance in his grace. Yeah. Paul said in Philippians 4 and 19, my God shall supply all of your needs according to the riches in heaven through Christ Jesus. Yeah, I know his grace is sufficient. Abundance in his grace. He's got all of the silver and gold. The abundance in his grace. Got the whole world in his hand. Never runs out of supplies. Anybody need, God grace will supply. Anybody have a want, God's grace will supply. His grace in abundance. Greatness of his grace. And not only does his grace empowers us, his grace enlivens us. What I'm trying to say, he allows himself to live in you. You could not tell the truth if it was not for his grace. You could not forgive one another if it was not for his grace. You could not stand the storm that raged against you if it was not for his grace. All I'm trying to say is that Paul was a great servant of the Lord. He was a faithful servant. And he says, I'm faithful because of the greatness of my God. I'm faithful because of the greatness of his grace. Anybody know his grace? Do you really know his grace? The house that you live in, you didn't build it. It was by his grace. Yeah. Look, the job that you go to, you didn't totally qualify. It was by his grace when doors were closed in your face. And you turn around and there was an open door. It was by his grace. Yeah, your pastor, a faithful servant of God, he knew about God's grace. he stepped out some 29 years ago of God's grace. And look what grace will do. Grace will do exceedingly, abundantly, oh Lord, above all you could ask or think. Somebody, you asked for one thing, and the Lord multiplied it because of his grace is sufficient to meet your needs. Well, I kept you too long, but I got to help this, oh yeah, this doxology. I got to tell you a final thing that it says. It makes a statement about God's greatness. It makes a statement about God's grace. But finally, it makes a statement about God's glory. You got to learn how to give him glory. It tells you, first of all, the place of his glory. I'm not making it up. It's in the text. He said, unto him be glory in the church. So when you come to the church house, you got to give him some glory. You got to lift up your hands and tell the Lord, glory, glory to your holy name. But not only that, you got to tell him, you got to know the person of the glory. Don't give yourself any glory. You don't deserve it. Don't get around here and give your title some glory. They don't deserve it. There's the one that deserves the glory is Jesus Christ. He died for the church. He gave his life for the church. He is the person of our glory. And he said in his word, if I be lifted up, if you give me glory, I'll draw all men unto me. I'm through, y'all. That's all I got to tell you. Give God the glory. And then the glory must be permanent. You can't start and stop. He said throughout all of the ages, you got to praise him in the morning. You got to praise him at noontime. You got to praise him when the going down of the sun. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. I'm through. I'm through. That's all I got to tell you. Good night. God be with you. Thank God for a faithful servant. He had, oh yeah, in his heart the greatness of God. He has in his heart the grace of God. And he has in his heart the glory. The glory of God.
Let us say amen.
Amen.
God's greatness, his grace, and his glory. Amen. What a faithful servant has in his heart. Tonight there may be someone here in this sanctuary who is an invited guest of someone you came tonight because a friend brought you, but you might have heard tonight of our God's greatness. You might have heard of his grace. You might have heard of his glory. And tonight he draws you with loving kindness, and he says, if you would believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. As our deacons come and we ask you to stand, it is his appeal that says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke